Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I think we're seeing a different way of ETFs being launched. The real kicker was governance, selling a private data. They really let down their customers repeatedly.
Drew, thanks for joining me this week.
Thanks, Nate. Always a pleasure to be on.
You know, it's funny. If you recall, last time you were on, we talked marijuana ETFs, and now we're going to cover Bitcoin ETFs, and I thought your colleague, Laura Krieger, she's going to be extremely jealous about this.
I'm seizing the fridge elements.
So look, I recently tweeted that I think Bitcoin is quickly becoming the investment story of the year, which is saying something, given everything else that we've seen in 2020. But you look, Bitcoin is now up over 100% on the year. It's up nearly 50% just since the beginning of October. And I checked yesterday, if we had a Bitcoin ETF, which we can get to that in a moment, but it would rank as one of the top 10 performing ETFs this year. That includes double and triple leverage products. So to start, what's been your take on Bitcoin's performance this year?
Well, first of all, I think Bitcoin is an island unto itself. I really do. I mean, everyone's trying to correlate it with gold, or is it, you know, reacting to the market? I don't think that's necessarily the case. I do think it's something that's kind of out there in its own market. And we've seen a lot of developments this year, just most recently. You know, we're seeing PayPal get into Bitcoin and allowing its customers not just to buy it, but they have merchants that will now allow transactions in Bitcoin. And that's a big step, because you have a company with some 200 million users who are going to go out there and see Bitcoin every day as an option in their life, as opposed to this thing that they don't quite understand or is something that's alternative. And as it comes away from that alternative feeling and becomes more of just another option in the financial tool box, I think we're going to see adoption come slowly. Whether or not we get a Bitcoin approval from the SEC or not, I don't think that's going to stop the evolution of Bitcoin. I think it's unfortunate, though.
You know, I think more and more, you mentioned the transactions capability with PayPal, but I think more and more Bitcoin is being viewed as a digital gold. And I think that's where a lot of investors are valuing, Bitcoin, not from it becoming necessarily some mainstream transaction mechanism, right? More of a store of value, an inflation hedge. And I'm curious what you think, if you look at the market environment this year, we have seen unprecedented stimulus to combat the negative economic impact of the coronavirus. We know what the Fed's doing, intervening in the markets. How much do you think that's played into Bitcoin's price move?
To be honest, I'm not sure. If you look at the charts, they don't look anything alike. Gold is very steady compared to a Bitcoin price chart that is very volatile. However, in the last year, we have seen volatility in Bitcoin price subside, almost range-bound other than in March when everything fell out of the bottom. So I think that's an easy narrative to draw. I don't know if somebody sits in their home and thinks, do I buy gold or do I Bitcoin? I think there's two different reasons to buy both, and I think you're seeing two different kinds of investors. And I think what's really helping Bitcoin right now, and a lot of folks in the industry will tell you this, is institutional investors are coming around to it. A lot of institutional investors, of course, just like marijuana ETFs, can't touch something that's not necessarily regulated by the SEC or isn't in that sort of protocol. But I think you're seeing a wide range of investors, and I just think it is becoming an asset. I hate to say that word necessarily, but something onto itself that people look at differently and not necessarily trying to correlate, but just see an opportunity. And unlike gold and unlike other commodities, there's a fixed amount. So there's no more Bitcoin on the market today than there was yesterday. They do come around in cycles where they create more Bitcoin, and that's a big deal. But like I said, the dynamics, the fundamentals, everything is so much different than gold. I just think gold used to be the alternative weirdo investment, right? And now Bitcoin has sort of taken that mantle. That's about the only similarity I see.
It's interesting. You mentioned institutional investors and really just a wide range of investors coming into the market. I'm not sure if you saw, there's a company called MicroStrategy. So they're a business intelligence and software firm. They now hold something like $500 million in Bitcoin instead of cash just for their corporate reserve. So they didn't want to just sit in cash and potentially lose mm-hmm. purchasing power. And you wonder if we'll see more companies doing that. I just thought that was interesting when you talk about a wide range of investors now looking at Bitcoin. And something else, Drew, you know, as we talk about this, I don't want to sound like a broken record. I know I say this every time we talk Bitcoin. I do want to be clear. Well, I absolutely believe there can be a benefit to owning a small amount of Bitcoin in a well-diversified portfolio. The fact is, it's still really early, right? And nobody knows where the price of Bitcoin is going. I think it could be a home run. It could go to zero. That's possible. And I just want to point that out as we talk about Bitcoin. Nobody should own Bitcoin unless you're prepared to lose money. Now, that aside, again, the fact is, if you did own some Bitcoin this year, you'd be pretty happy. And I guess with that as a caveat, as you look at this current rally, do you think it has legs, or do you think we're looking at a flash in the pan like we saw back in December 2017?
Well, as Dennis Gartman used to say, you know, a rally ends when it ends. We don't know. I do think there's a whole different dynamic in the marketplace than in 2017 when we saw the huge volatility spike. We saw Bitcoin go up to 20,000 and quickly fall below 10,000 toward the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. We didn't have a futures market in place like we do today. And the CME now is trading hundreds of millions, I think it's sometimes $1 billion a day in Bitcoin futures. And that really keeps, theoretically, and I think we're seeing in practice, price discovery. So when price gets too far out of whack, you can take the other side. And that's a vehicle that helps with price stability. And I also think it's a vehicle that legitimizes Bitcoin and should help in the cause to get a Bitcoin ETF, because the CME futures are regulated, just like corn and wheat. So that is why those are out there, to protect yourself, to hedge. When something's going up, you buy a little bit of futures on the downside. So that in that regard, it is becoming something that is traded very much similar to all the other assets that are out there. And the CME obviously legitimizes that as well.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue. Let's talk about a Bitcoin ETF. And like I said at the top, I'm not going to get fired up this week. We're not going to rehash everything here. Listeners have heard my arguments many times. But you recently published a nice piece where you visited with Bitwise's Matt Hogan. So Bitwise is one of the companies who has tried unsuccessfully to launch a Bitcoin ETF. And I thought you did a fantastic job of really capturing the overall sentiment here. I feel like there's a combination of fatigue and, I don't know, sad resignation on this. The SEC just won't budge. Now, obviously, I read the piece, but I would just love to hear more about your overall impression on where this stands after doing a full deep dive and visiting with somebody like Matt Hogan.
Well, one of the reasons I revisited this, and it's typical in financial journalism, nobody pays attention to anything until it goes up really high or goes down really low. And that price stability is sort of what it went off the map for people. But it came on once Bitcoin price started going up. And I think where we're at in the Bitcoin right now is, believe me, there's a lot of people working behind the scenes to get this done. And I think it's taking very cautious steps. We saw something like 8 potential Bitcoin ETFs go to the SEC, get rejected or disapproved, which means it could be appealed, but no one's expecting that to happen. I think we're going to have a much more matching filing of Bitcoin to what the SEC wants. And I think time is helping them. I think the price stability, the futures market, more institutional investors, and those institutional investors want SEC approval. That helps their cause a lot. So I think the pressure is coming. The new administration don't really know what their feeling is on Bitcoin, but I know inside the SEC, this thing has been well-researched. And one of the things that always trips me up, though, as you alluded to in your intro, is we just recently saw the SEC approve some, you could argue, more lenient inverse and leverage ETF rules that could allow more of these funds to hit the market. So I think what is happening is the SEC is not being overly protective of investors. I just don't think they have come to the understanding of how this market works to the best of their ability to regulate it. But I think that learning curve has been ascended, and I think they're almost there. It's just going to take the right product to come along that matches what the SEC wants. And I think we're much closer than we were in 2013 when the Winklevosses had filed the first Bitcoin ETF, and everybody thought this is crazy. Nobody thinks it's crazy anymore. Now people are trying to figure out what is the issue here, because the SEC not approving it leads credence to what you were talking about. Oh, it could go to zero. Frankly, I don't think Bitcoin can go to zero. I don't think that's a possibility anymore because people are going to make a whole lot of money on the short end of that. So at some point, that levels out. But at the same token, I think the SEC is in a quagmire of, well, if we approve this and it blows up, it's our fault. And I don't think they're quite at the comfort zone where they feel like, you know, it'll go to zero or it won't go to zero. And at some point, I think that understanding will come around. And I think there's some very smart people like Matt Hogan, like the Winklevoss twins. They're working very hard to make this available to every investor out there. And right now, it's very difficult for a lot of people to wrap their heads around. It's easy to buy Bitcoin, but a lot of people don't want to go to Coinbase, and they don't want to go to some of these exchanges. They want to be able to go to their Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard account and buy it just like they buy a gold ETF.
See, you hit on something there that I still have heartburn over, which is I feel like the SEC is making a determination on the investment merit or the investment case for Bitcoin, which really isn't their job. Their job is to make sure that products function properly and that the appropriate investor protections are in place from that product structure standpoint, not making a determination as to whether or not the investment is good or bad. And you mentioned, you know, a few weeks ago, the SEC did loosen rules around leverage and inverse ETFs. It's going to make it much easier to launch those products. And that's been one of my biggest arguments for why I think a Bitcoin ETF should exist. If you just look at all the other ETFs that are out there, right, we have leverage FANG ETFs and inverse gold mining ETFs and triple levered natural gas ETFs, freight forward futures ETFs. I just feel like there should be some consistency from the SEC, right? Are we really trying to protect investors here, or is the SEC holding Bitcoin to a higher standard? And to me, you look at it, just feels really incongruent how they approach some of these other products that are on the market.
I think earlier that wasn't the case, but I think you're right. I think as we go forward here, there needs to be a clear, concrete reason why this isn't going through, because that's the way problems are solved. And I think that happened before. I think the price discovery and price stability was a problem. And now they're seeing that ironed out a little bit, and I think it's becoming more ingrained into the financial marketplace. If someone says, I own Bitcoin, it's not as odd as it used to be. And the other thing I think that is toned down, and of course I haven't been in a cab in 7-8 months in New York City, for instance, but, you know, we don't have cab drivers or people that you run into that suddenly want to talk to you about Bitcoin.
Good point. Right?
So that kind of low-level acceptance, I think, scared the SEC. When people are, you know, cashing in their 401k and buying Bitcoin because they can't buy it in their 401k. I don't hear those stories anymore. I hear just the opposite. I hear more institutional investors coming into the market. Bitwise, for instance, which you just mentioned, the company, they just crossed $100 million in assets under management in their crypto indexes. And that's not coming from mom and pop. That's coming from sophisticated investors who are taking risks, calculated risks. And as you said, that the SEC's job is not to be the nanny. It's to be the mechanic to make sure the car gets you to where you want. And if it doesn't get you there, that's your fault. You didn't put gas in it. But I do think it is not a matter of them doing that. I just think they just can't sleep at night thinking there's a Bitcoin out there, or they used to think that. But I think time is really helping that case.
Well, the only other thing I'll point out here, I said I'm not going to get fired up this week, but I thought you made an excellent point in your piece. You said that the longer they drag this out and don't approve a Bitcoin ETF, the more likely it is that investors will venture into other less transparent and less regulated ways to buy and sell Bitcoin. And what comes to mind for me on that is something like the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. And I want to be clear, I've had conversations with Michael Sonnenschein over there. They have a great team. The product's doing everything that it's supposed to. There's nothing inherently wrong with that product. However, a Bitcoin ETF would be a better solution, because that Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, I think right now it currently trades at like a 20% premium. I think there's a 2% fee on it, but that thing has like $8 billion currently invested in it. And you can't argue that an ETF would not be a better solution there. And so it's hard for me. We talked about leverage and inverse ETFs and how the SEC reconciles having those, but not a Bitcoin ETF. I would say the same, that you have the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust out there that grandma can own in her E-Trade account, but we're not going to allow a product that would resolve that premium issue. That's just another one that I have a hard time understanding.
That's an excellent point. And the fact that it's trading at a premium just shows you they're allowing this product to go out there and making people pay 20% above what the net asset value is, and have no problem and sleep at night going, well, you know, that's fine. So that's the incongruency that we're seeing, and I think that that's going to be ironed out. And again, when we see PayPal come into the market and say, hey, we accept this, we see the risk. And I would hope, I don't know if you're going to mention or talk to Ben about it, but as a custodian, that's the spying, right? The custodian owning the Bitcoin that's protecting it for you so you don't lose your password.
That's right.
You know, hundreds of millions of dollars have been lost in Bitcoin because people forgot their password because they own the Bitcoin in their computer. Just like you don't want a stock certificate in your house, you have it somewhere else. And that is a key component, and I'd be interested in Ben's thoughts on that, because once they come around and say, look, SEC, we're fine with this, they're taking the risk, the custodian, right? And the risk has to be on the private sector, and the public regulator can't be worried about that if it's a functioning asset or a security, like you mentioned.
All right, before I let you go, I believe I saw on Twitter that you're predicting 2021 for Bitcoin ETF. Is that correct?
Actually, I said 2022.
2022. Okay. So you think that's most likely?
I mean, I'm just looking at the lay of the land. You've got a new administration coming in, so you have to get the SEC internally is not going to change. Some of the figureheads, the commissioners, and obviously the chairman, potentially, could change. They could not change, too. But I think it's going to take about, 3, 4, 5, 6 months to get out there. I think you're going to have a lot of these people like Bitwise, the Winklevoss, VanEck, ProShares. I mean, all 8 of them are going to be knocking on that door once they feel the time is right to go back at it. And no one has done that yet. And that was the other thing that caught my attention, that no one has come back quickly and said, oh, well, we want to try again. There's been a real lull in anybody going to the SEC asking for appeal or refiling a Bitcoin ETF. And I can't imagine that that's not on the plate of a lot of companies right now. And I think once we get that dust settled in the new administration, we're going to be back at it again. And potentially by this time next year, we could be really close to not necessarily approval, but certainly the idea that it's back in the mix. The SEC has to consider this and come back to the public and say whether they're going to approve it or not and why.
Well, I did think it was interesting in your piece in visiting with Matt Hogan, who is clearly as close to this as anyone. He said his best estimate on when a Bitcoin ETF would be approved is somewhere between 12 and 36 months, which I didn't take as overly encouraging. Now, he did say it was a matter of when, not if, but that time frame, that's not necessarily soon. And I should mention, I've been wrong on this the whole time. I predicted 2020. I really thought we'd have a Bitcoin ETF this year. I'm definitely not the best, I don't have the best crystal ball on this topic. But anyway, Drew, I always appreciate it. At some point, I do think we'll be on here talking about a Bitcoin ETF that actually launched. It's only a matter of time, though it may be a while. But thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks, Nate. Always a pleasure.
That was ETF.com's Drew Voros.